All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, March 15th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a two-game NHL main slate tonight. And then over on the DraftKings side of the NBA streets, we have a six-game main slate with a no late swap. They are bringing no late swap back. So it should be a fun and interesting evening. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. And third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team here. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then on Saturdays, we do the show at 11 a.m. Eastern. So I will be right back here tomorrow morning for our Saturday show. But with that said, let's jump right in. Let's get the app pulled up here and let's get our first question in. First question looks like it came in from Jay Sams Jr. here over in the Discord. So we'll start there and we'll get to all the questions before the end of the show as always. But first question here says, once you let SaberSim make builds, how can you adjust it to get the players that you want on your roster? Okay, good question. So the easiest thing to do here, right? So let's say I come in here, you know, I make some adjustments to projections here. I go to my build settings and I just kick off a build, right? And I'm just going to start with a fresh one here. I'm going to get rid of this older build from earlier today. And, you know, I suggest that people do this one way particularly. So really your best friend here is going to be these minimax exposure columns. So what I recommend is just running the build and then going in and adjusting your minimax exposures. Now, let's say that once you do that, you know, maybe you run into an error message. Maybe you hit a wall and it says, unable to meet exposures, you know, and then you have to keep editing in and you have to rebuild your lineups. Well, sometimes people will say, hey, Andrew, you know, why don't I just set that up in the first place? You know, why don't I just set all those minimax exposures before I run my first build? Well, the reason I like to do it this way is it gives you like an opportunity to just see what SaberSim thinks out of the gate about the decisions that you're making. Like, hey, you know, if I just take the lineups that it gives me and I try and meet my exposures, am I able to do so? And if you are able to do so, great. You know, the builder agrees with you on some level about the decisions that you're trying to make. But if you run into that message, at least it gives you an opportunity to be like, you know what? Do I really need 80%? You know, maybe the builder can meet 60% and you're like, you know what? I'm actually okay with 60%. So it gives you that piece of feedback that the builder can provide of just trying to figure out, hey, is this the right decision or not? And then if you're still like set on that decision, then hey, you go in here and you use the rebuild lineups button, no harm, no foul. But at least it gives you the opportunity to see some of like the more baseline assumptions that SaberSim is making about the plays that you think are good plays, bad plays, etc. All right. Next question here. Says, I see in flashback that some people are playing a small percentage of no stack lineups each day in NBA. Not sure if this is a winning strategy or not, but I can't figure out how I would replicate that. Putting a min exposure in the stacks tab doesn't seem to work. Any advice? So if you go to stack exposure, there is an option for no stacks here. I am pretty sure if you set a minimum exposure to no stacks that you should get some lineups that are no stacks. Like we could try this, right? Let's say that, you know, we want 10% no stacks and then we just rebuild our lineups, kind of almost piggybacking on the last example here. Well, what should happen is that we should get a number of no stack lineups in our set here. And then if we don't, I would probably chalk that up to being a bug and something not working right. So if you're trying it and it's not working, then, you know, that is a problem that is probably worth reporting to us here. So I'm actually a little bit surprised right now. You know, I've set that one requirement to my builds to have 10% no stacks, and it looks like no lineups are building. So for some reason, this isn't working on some level here, but there is another workaround here. And I actually think that, this actually might be a little bit better. So what I'm going to do is I ran into an issue here that is clearly a bug. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the top right corner. I'm going to go to report a problem, and then I'm going to say setting a min exposure to no stacks in NBA causes a build to fail. And then what this does is it gives our team information about what's going on and allows us to troubleshoot and fix those type of issues. So anytime you guys report something like that, we definitely appreciate it. All right. So what I would do now, let's say I run into this issue, right? Okay. I'm going to reset that max exposure back to zero. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take advantage of the favorites option. So what the favorites option allows you to do is it allows you to run multiple builds and combine them into a single contest. So say that I'm playing a 20 max and maybe I want 10 of my lineups to have no stacks. And then in the other 10 lineups, I don't care. So then what I would do is I would go into my lineup rules. I would go to group. I would go to change my method to automatic. And then I would say use no more than one. And then I would group by team here. So then when I save that, now what this rule does is it tells the builder, hey, don't use any more than one player from a given team. And because this is a rule, it works a little bit different than a filter does. So this should work. And lineups are now building. So I know that this is working just fine. All right. So I'm going to scroll over to the side here. So I'm going to let this load up. And then I'm going to go and change the number of my lineups to 10 here. And then when I'm satisfied with the 10 lineups that I'm seeing, I'm going to use a star icon. It's going to send these 10 lineups to this favorites tab, which now lights up. And it's lighting up because I put lineups in here. So I have 10 lineups. So then what I would do is I would go and open a new build. I would make sure that rule is turned off, and which it is. And then I would build my other 10 lineups. I would favorite those, send those to the favorites. And then now I have 20 lineups, some with no stacks, some that don't care about no stacks. And then I could fill all of those entries into a single contest from using the save to my contest option in the favorites tab. So that is how I would do that. All right. So hope that favorites option works out well for you there, but it looks like Marcus is here. So Marcus, I would give that a shot. All right. Good question there. Keeping it rolling. Question from Black Mamba. Hey, Andrew, happy Friday. By chance, can you go over how to use the contest flashback feature on FanDuel? So you actually cannot use it on FanDuel. And the reason that it is not available on FanDuel is because FanDuel does not allow for users to go and download the contest data. So on DraftKings, you can go into a past contest that you played and download all of the CSVs, which includes all of the lineups that were played, all of the users, how many entries each user had, et cetera, the ownership projections for the contest, and all of that contest data. FanDuel does not allow for that data to be downloaded. So unfortunately, we're not able to provide contest flashback for FanDuel at the moment. Wish we could, though. All right. Question from AYT. Question says, can you please show how to fill in lineups, rank, unique rank, or exact when you play three different contests? I always use three tabs, one for each contest. Okay. So there's a couple different ways to do this. I am not playing DraftKings tonight. I am moving over to the FanDuel streets. So I do have a CSV here, which I could show you guys. Let me get my CSV pulled in here. Right. Okay, so I have a number of contests here playing over on FanDuel. So let's go build some lineups for FanDuel. So it depends how you want to do this a little bit. So, basically asking about like the fill methods. I am going to do this all from one build here, and I will show you how to do that. So let's say that, I'm in here, I'm building my lineups, And let's say that I have a couple options, right? So one way I could do this is I could just look at how many entries I have, which is 351. And then I could change the number of my lineups to 351. And then when I do that and I go to save, I have a couple different options, right? So the default is typically going to be unique rank here. What unique rank will do is it will put your first 150 lineups into the top contest and then your second 150. And then since my third contest is a three max, my lineups 301, 302, 303 will go into that. My next contest is a single entry, so my 304th lineup. So it's going to use every lineup in descending order until it runs out of lineups. So it's going to make sure that every lineup is at least used one time. Now, you can reorder these using the drag and drop feature on the side. Maybe I want to, you know, fill my 25 entry $2.22 first because I care about that contest more than I do the piggy bank. So however you decide to, you know, drag and drop these and order the contests is however they will get filled. Now, if I were to use unique random, it will still use every lineup before using any lineup more than once. However, it will not put the top, however many entries into the top contest. It will, as it says, randomly assign them. You know, my number one lineup could go into my last contest in theory here. So that's what unique random is doing. What rank is doing is it's looking at how many entries you have and it's putting the top lineups from your set into that contest. So for a 25 max, it's putting lineups 1 through 25. For a 150 max, it's going to put lineups 1 through 150. It doesn't care that I have more than 150 lineups. It's only going to use the top however many lineups on a contest by contest basis. And then what exact would do is say I was looking at, you know, only one lineup in my lineups and then I filled using exact. What it would do is it would go through here and skip every contest that is not a single. That is what the different fill methods do here. And I hope that clarifies how best to use it. But it depends, like if you're using contest sims with it as well, like, you know, you say like, hey, I'm playing three different contests and you said I always use three different tabs. So it sounds like you're doing three different builds, one for each contest. You know, what we recommend is like part of our profit plan is to build your 150s and 20 maxes together and your single entries and three maxes together. And the reason for that is that the sliders basically end up being the same. If I go and look at a 150 max, you know, 50K entries, my sliders are 1.9. And if I drop that down to a 20 max, even of the same size, it's still greater than, still sliders stay the same. If I drop down to 10 to 50K entries, sim diversity comes down one tick. You know, building a set of lineups on 1.9 for a contest where the preferred sliders are 1.8 is not going to be the worst thing in the world here. And you get some pretty significant time savings when it comes to building lineups for NBA here. So that's why, you know, sliders end up being really, really similar as opposed to like going and looking at for your correlation and sim diversity values here. So hope that makes sense. All right. That was our last question in the Discord. So we're going to jump over to the YouTube chat. Question from Ryan. Thoughts on the quality of the SaberSim Formula One model? Good question. You know, I think it's pretty good. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're more interested in hearing like what our data scientists have to say, you know, I would go over to our YouTube channel and see and listen to them, you know, and kind of just like evaluate what they're saying, right? So like go to our YouTube playlists here and then scroll down to, I think it's called Motorsports. Oh, how to beat NASCAR, DFS, and F1. And then come in here and you know, beat the Formula One Daily Fantasy Competition with F1 DFS Sims. This is a model interview, I'm almost positive here, with... with Will here. So you can come in and like listen to Will talk about it and, you know, kind of judge what you think about the model. But as far as I know, we're providing F1 Sims. I think Run the Sims has an F1 package as well. I don't know who else is providing F1 projections here. So I think that, you know, for some of these more niche sports, we really end up standing out with our sims. We do really well in esports like CSGO and League of Legends. You know, those models are like really, really good. So the fact that, you know, we have really good esports models and the same people that built those are building these other niche models like Formula One, like NASCAR, you know, I'm very confident in the masterminds behind these, and I would stake my reputation on them. All right. Good question there. Jumping back to SaberSim here. Next question from Pure Whip said, when doing 20 max for NBA, I fixed my player pool, of course, keep getting errors doing the minimax exposures. It overgives or undergives to about 20 to 30 player pool. So what I would do here is if you're running into errors, then, you know, go back to like what we were talking about earlier of, let's say you run into an error, right? Let's say that I'm building lineups and maybe I want like 100% Paolo Banchero, right? So I know I'm not going to be able to get to 100% here because there's only 127 lineups with him in our pool. So I run into this unable to meet exposures message. Well, what I should do is I should go and set all of my mini max exposures that I want before doing anything, fix them all. And then once you're done, then use the rebuild lineups button. Now, if you're only running a player pool of 20 to 30 lineups, then, you know, that is a very, very small player pool. You should be aware of how many lineups you're building. Like if you're setting a bunch of minimax exposures, running a super tight player pool, and you're only asking for 20 lineups, well, like, hey, maybe there's just like not enough combinations available with the constraints that you're giving. And then also be aware of your minimum salary requirement too, right? That's going to affect the combinations that can be built as well. So keep those things in mind, use the rebuild lineups button, loosen some constraints if needed here. And with some combination of those things, I think it should resolve your issues. All right. Next question here. Question says, hello, I'm playing from Greece. I have 77M to spend and each player has his value and I have to pick 7 players. Can I change the rules? So very interesting question. So it sounds like you're trying to use our projections for whatever fantasy site that you have. And, what I would recommend doing, honestly, is you're probably going to have to set up like your own type of optimizer. And one of the easiest ways to do that is probably with like the solver function in Excel. So like what I would do probably here is, you know, something like this. So I would download our projections. And then this is going to give you all of the stat information, right? So like the download looks like this. What you could do here is you could like scroll over to the right and then you're going to see all these stats. So all these stats are what make up the projection, right? We're basically taking the stats from the Sims. We're multiplying it by whatever site's scoring system. And then we're getting the fantasy point value. So that's like kind of the step you should do. Like, okay, you know, go to like another sheet, set up the scoring, right? Like, okay, this is how much for assists, rebounds, steals, blocks, turnovers, whatever it may be, right? And then, you know, take all of that and input it here and then reference, you know, these columns. Say like, okay, you know, it should be, you know, AZ2, let's say rebounds, right? Like, okay, it should be this player's rebounds times X equals their new fantasy point for, you know, whatever site I'm doing, right? And then you basically do a calculation to get the player's new fantasy point value, right? And then what you do is I would honestly probably just like go on YouTube and Google and search like how to use Excel solver function. And then it will show you how to use that. And then you could take, you know, your salaries, you could import your salaries or whatever you need. And then you could, you know, put those fantasy point values. So you basically need like the player, the salary, the fantasy points, and then use the solver function, and then it will build lineups for you. So that is probably the easiest way to like build your own optimizer for the fantasy site that you're playing on. But that would be my immediate tips. All right. Looks like we got some feedback here. Said you're going to do some research. Yeah, no, just, I mean, YouTube is going to be your best friend in regards to that. And then got a thank you, Andrew. Well explained. You are welcome. I need to add more players to my player pool. It's very possible that that is a limitation that you are running into. And like, let's say that, you know, there's like a group of players that you know you want to play. Honestly, what I would do is like, say you have like a group of, you know, 20 players like you're talking about where like you kind of want to just like favor those guys. I would just put them in a group rule and then say, you know, use at least like four where like, hey, you know, maybe I'm playing, you know, my lineup has 8 players. My lineup has 9 players, depending what site you're playing on. At least you're saying, hey, I'm going to put these 20 players in a group and I'm going to make sure that at least 4 of them are being used in every lineup that I play. One, that guarantees that you're getting the players that you want. And 2, it allows the builder to have some flexibility about which players go into each lineup. So you get the players that you want in the majority of your lineups, and then you still allow the builder to, you know, do what it does best by building the best lineup around those players without it being too heavily constrained. So like that is a possible approach that I would recommend. All right. Got one more here from Sam. Sam said, weathering the storm is tough, especially when you are following the data-driven recommendations but haven't had that top finish. I trust the work done here at SaberSim, but in this case, what do you reevaluate since the process isn't your own, but a data-driven recommendation? Good question here. You know, this one is like really, really tough because here's like a good example, right? So we did this bankroll simulation testing for MLB, you know, like 2 seasons ago. And what all these lines are on this graph are different ways a player's season could play out. And what we were assuming is that this player has a expected ROI of 20%. So this is a long-term winning player. Well, what we found is like, hey, when you run these simulations, even a player who is playing 30 days a month, playing, you know, 160 days for an MLB season here can have losing seasons. And, you know, this red line in particular is like my favorite because, you know, imagine like this player was losing for about 140 days and then they had a late season bink and then they finished up. They finished like $5,000 positive and they were playing like the $4.20 max. So every day they're playing the $4.20 max and they just can't win, right? They're reviewing their process. They're doing their research and everything is grading out well. And it's like, wow, why can't I win? And then it isn't until like super late in the year, they have a win that shoots them up here and they finish the season positive. And when they look at their season, you know, it ends up being a decent season, but like that day-to-day grind just feels terrible when you know you're putting in good lineups and you're just not getting rewarded. Meanwhile, there's other simulations where you win right out of the gate, right? Like this other line over here, you know, guy wins on, you know, a couple days into the year and it's a way different experience, right? So DFS graphs look so much different than other forms of gambling. You know, it's not this like slow, steady trend upward here. It's these big spikes, lose, 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 lose until your next big spike and then your next big spike. So, you know, that is really just due to the top heavy payout structures in DFS. So like that red line represents like, hey, you can be doing everything right and still be losing. We even had like an example of that recently. I think there was somebody who won like $15,000 in the NFL playoffs and they posted it and they were like, I lost every single week in the NFL regular season. I lost 18 weeks in a row and this win puts me up on the year. So like, that is like this graph in real life. Like somebody had that experience. So that's why, you know, going with contest flashback, studying your lineup, studying top players' lineups is really like a good thing to do because it tells you like, hey, have I just not had my bink yet? And is it like still on the horizon? Like, am I putting in good lineups? And do I just need to, you know, continue to weather the storm? But, you know, playing less of your bankroll is like a really good option if you're just like running bad and you just feel bad. Like, hey, maybe you're following like 2.5 to 5% and maybe you're leaning on the higher side. Like, hey, maybe you lean on the low side. Maybe you even go 2%. Maybe you go 1.5% until, you know, you start to get a little traction and you start to get your confidence back. So can definitely be tough. I've been there. I know how it is. But just remember these things when you're going through those times. All right. Good show, everybody. I think we're going to call it there. No more questions here. So I'll be right back here tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern for our Saturday show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.